Now we're going to talk about saving your own life or perhaps saving someone else's. In our occasional series, I Didn't Know That, and we're hoping that you do know most of this, but just in case you don't, it's time for a refresher, because this week we're doing something quite timely, learning how to swim safely on New Zealand beaches and how to help others without endangering ourselves. And I'm joined now by National Lifesaving Manager for Surf Lifesaving New Zealand, Alan Mundy. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Not too bad. And what about you? Been for a swim lately?
Yes. Yeah, I've been lucky. I've been in the water the last 3 or 4 days and it's lovely and warm. It's been really good.
Beautiful. And, of course, Mount Maunganui can be quite a dangerous beach, can't it?
Yes, it can. It's a bit like probably most of our east coast beaches. They have those periods where it's nice and calm and things look really fine. But once we get about half a metre, it can get quite dangerous because we get a lot of rips along the beach. Probably every 500 metres will be a rip, and that's just the natural environment.
Oh, it's a stunning beach, though. What a great place to go for a swim, and there's so much of it.
Yes, yes. 27 kilometres of beautiful white sand. I think we're pretty spoiled.
Very spoiled. So let's talk about New Zealand beaches generally. What are some of the biggest problems for this country's swimmers?
What we do have is a lot of beaches, and we've got a very small population. So what our biggest difficulty is being able to get assets like lifeguards out to cover every beach, and unfortunately we don't. So currently we've got about 100 beaches in the country which are patrolled, but there's literally thousands of them, and that does catch us out as a country because, as you know, we've got a very high drowning toll, and a lot of the drownings are on beaches where we just don't have lifeguards.
And I believe drowning is the number one cause of recreational death.
Yes, it is. In New Zealand, it is. And it's also that all drownings are preventable. So it's a real quandary for us, and I suppose it's really good to get the opportunity to get all those safety messages out to everybody so that they can keep them in the front of their mind when they do go down to the coast and check their safety before they go in.
Righto, let's start at the beginning. We're at the beach and we want to go for a swim. We don't really know what the conditions are like except for the weather. So what's the best time to go swimming, high tide or low tide?
Well, the best time to go swimming is when the tide is coming in. And what we recommend is, even before you go to the beach, is actually get online and find out where the nearest lifeguarded beach is. We've got two apps where people can get, they're all free. The first one is findabeach.co.nz, and every single lifeguarded beach is on that. And then there's a new one, which is Find Me BP. We've partnered up with BP, and with their app, they'll actually tell you where the beach is, when the lifeguards are on, and they'll even give you assistance to get there. So that's probably the best thing that we can say tonight is, if you're in doubt and you're not a confident swimmer, then choose a lifeguarded beach which has lifeguards on, they're on patrol to swim at, and then we will certainly take care of you.
Right. So did you say Find Me BP?
Yep, Find Me BP. It's the BP app for filling in your car, and if you go along the top, you'll see some red and yellow flags, hit that, and it'll take you to the nearest beach, which is patrolled at that time.
Great. And if the beach isn't patrolled, choose a time when the tide's coming in, which is great advice because it didn't even occur to me. But, of course, it's safer because it's not sucking you out.
Exactly. And when you do go to the beach, is look at the surf. If there's a surf running, there will be rips. Okay, and what Kiwis do, what everybody does, not just Kiwis, is they look at that surf and they go, well, that's quite big, I won't go out, and that's cool. But they'll also have a look at a smaller surf and go, hey, I can handle that, and they probably can. But what they can't handle is the power of the rips, and the rips are the unseen danger on the beach. So how do we find a rip, I suppose, is the best question. And the easiest way to spot a rip is where the waves are breaking uneven, or there might not be any waves at all, where either side there will be waves. So that's a good indication that there's a rip there. Or you might find you're walking out to into the water and you find the bottom is quite undulating, it's a bit bumpy, and you might be a bit deeper, closer to shore than, say, people down the beach a bit further. That's an indication that you're in a hole, and every rip starts with a hole. So if you're in that situation, turn around and walk out, and then try and find part of the beach which has nice, even surf coming in, nice straight lines. That will be the safest place to swim on that beach.
when you do get caught in a rip, it's very easy to panic. And I know the advice is stay calm, but how do you force yourself to stay calm?
Well, it's a mindset, and it's the hardest thing. I've been in some sticky situations where I kind of thought, oh, give myself a fright. But you literally have to stop, take stock of where you are, and that's where the relax comes into it. Literally, lie on your back, get your head kind of in the right space, and then you can work out a plan. And it's actually not the working out the plan that helps you. It's actually the working out the plan stops you panicking. It's that fight and flight reaction that we all jump into, and that's a form of panic. So if you can stop that, then you can float. And I've seen, I don't think I've ever seen a person who can't float, but you can float a heck of a lot longer than you can panic and stay above the water. So as a lifeguard, I've seen loads of people that I've gone to rescue who go to and start panicking, and you've literally got seconds. Although if you're floating on your back and you're relaxed, you've got tens of minutes, and especially at this time of year, you've got literally hours that you can stay afloat before anything else starts to kick in, like hypothermia and stuff like that. Now, once you've relaxed, raise your hand, raise the alarm. Don't have to shout, because actually you can't hear much when there's a bit of a surf around. But we can see hands up along a coastline. This is the coastline I patrol. We can see them 10 kilometres away. So we've got pretty high-powered binoculars, obviously. Most rescue towers do. But you'd be surprised how often members of the public will actually phone surf clubs or phone the police and say, I can see someone in trouble. And then the lifeguards will kick in and head down the beach and carry out the rescue. So believe me, a hand raised up in the surf, it sticks out like anything. So we will see that. And then ride that rip out. There's a lot of research that's coming out of rips now worldwide. And about 3/4 of all rips actually recirculate and come back to shore. So if you can ride the rip out by just relaxing, you'll probably find you actually be brought back closer to the shore. And if you feel you can actually make your way in, then choose to swim in, or you might even just find you can stand up and walk in.
Well, that would be good. What if we're on the beach and we see someone in distress? They might not have raised their hand. They might have panicked. We just think, gosh, that person's in trouble. Yep. There's no surf lifesavers. What do we do?
Well, the first thing you have to do is seek help, and that's called 111. So all of the police around the country are hooked into the surf lifesaving search and rescue squads and vice versa. So ring 111, ask for police, and tell them the situation. They'll get things kicking in straight away. We really urge people not to go out and try and rescue. 10% of drownings along coastlines are lay people who go out originally to rescue someone and they end up dying themselves. It's a very dangerous situation. We don't know, that guy might be Michael Phelps, an Olympic swimmer who's gotten into trouble. You just don't know why that person's in trouble. You've got to try and hold back from rescuing, unless you are like myself, a lifeguard, or you're a very, very good swimmer, then that's fine. But most New Zealanders are not good swimmers. When we're all at school, we're taught to swim and we've got swimming skills. But when you're in the surf, swimming skills don't match for much. It's swimming fitness that does. And we don't consider anyone swimming fit unless they can swim 200 metres without touching the bottom or kicking off the end of the pool. So that's quite a lot. And that's what all our lifeguards train for. When you're in a rip, you quite often get pulled off the shore that fast. So those are the things that we want people to kind of keep in the back of their mind. It's easy to walk into the water. It's very hard to go out a couple of hundred metres and rescue someone. So ring 111, get the professionals along, and we'll certainly do our best to get that person out.
And if you're on your back and you've thought, okay, I'm on my back, but the surf is still crashing over you, or you're taking in water, let's say.
Yeah. So the best way to try and avoid getting in that situation, if you're in that rip, you won't actually have waves in the rip. But if you look at the bottom of the seafloor where the rip is, if we suck all the water away, you actually see a big deep channel. And waves don't break in deep water. They break on the surf bar. So if you are actually getting pounded by the waves, try and stand up, because you'll probably find you're on the surf bar. And then you can walk your way away. So that's a good indication, actually, Karen. If you find that you're getting pummeled by the waves, try and have a go at standing up. Now, if that doesn't work, then face the waves and when you see the wave starting to come into you, bob under it. Now, one of the indications that we see when people are in trouble is they look into shore, and that's an indication for the lifeguards to get up and go quickly. But when you're looking into shore, you can't see that wave coming, and it catches you out, and that's when you kind of lose your breath. So by looking at the wave, you can take your breath, go under it, dive under the wave, and it won't throw you around as much.
Very good. Thank you so much, Alan. Those are really helpful tips, and especially at this time of year, and may have resulted in one or two of us not taking those chances at the beach.
That's really good. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Great to talk to you. Thanks, Alan.
Okay, bye.
That's Alan Mundy from Surf Life Saving New Zealand.